Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture. Seems like everyone knows it, even people that don't go to church. And unfortunately, we always seem to look at it when there's a funeral. It's in funeral homes. They have it on their brochures. Most families ask for the 23rd Psalm, and it's been associated with death. So I'm so glad today that we're looking at this psalm with life, with new life. With Tilly's baptism, we're talking about the 23rd Psalm, because when the person wrote it, it was not meant to be a funeral psalm. It was a song of life. And it was a song about perfect trust of the shepherd. And the psalmist said, God himself is my shepherd. And talks about how God guides him. God guided him through pleasant pastures. He guided him in right paths. And he also guided him when he went through the darkest valley. The Lord is my shepherd. So I want to talk about the shepherd today, and especially about guidance. Do you trust the shepherd? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they trust me, and they follow me. Do you trust the shepherd? I was thinking about that, and thinking about how God guides us. And so often people think of God's guidance for people like me who are going into the ministry and how God guided me into the ministry. But I want to talk to you today about somebody who's not a minister and who was guided because she believes that every step she takes, God has a plan for her life. And this is my sister Linda. When my sister was living with me, she lived with me for about 4 years. She had a little boy, and her marriage had imploded, and she and her son were living with me and my family. And it was at a time when she was looking for work. Now, Linda, being a nurse, and at that time there was a shortage of nursing, she had her world opened up to her in our area. She could go anywhere. There were ads in every paper about the need for nurses, and she was an ICU nurse, and those were quite in demand. So she looked in the paper, and the logical choice was to go right down the street from us. There was a hospital. It might have been 2 minutes away. It was very convenient to us, and so that's where she first looked, and they hired her on the spot. Now, she had been working part-time, so she said, in all fairness, I have to give my employer 2 weeks, and then I'll start working for you. But as she was thinking about this decision, she said there was just something nagging at her. There was an ad in the paper for a hospital in Washington, D.C. It was not a prominent hospital. It was none that she had heard of. She had never heard of anyone going there. But this voice inside her kept saying, call them. You have to call them. And she patently ignored it because she thought that was nuts. Here's a hospital right down the street. She's already knows that she's going to go there. Why would she call this place? One time at the table, she was talking to me about it, and I had come to respect the voice of God in my sister, and I said, look, for heaven's sake, even if it's crazy, what will it hurt you to call them? So she called, and she faxed over her resume, and she said, I'm available to work. And the person on the other end of the phone said, well, that's not how our system works. We have your resume in hand, but it takes weeks before you'll get a call and before you'll get any kind of response from this. Linda said, well, I'm ready to go right away. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be at another hospital, but I think that I should be at yours. And the woman completely blew her off, and when she hung up the phone, she felt like an idiot. She thought, you know, I maybe I should check myself in someplace, because this is nuts. The next day, at 7:30 in the morning, she got a call from the hospital that she just faxed her resume over to. She had an interview that day and was hired on the spot. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Do you trust the guidance of God? So she went to this hospital because she knew that even though it was a little out of the way, that's where God wanted her. And immediately, she was sent to the darkest valley. Sometimes, when God guides us, it isn't always in pleasant pastures. It was the darkest valley for her. And I'll tell you why. First week, she said, I need orientation. I don't know your systems. And they said, you don't need orientation. She said, well, yes, I do. So begrudgingly, they said, okay, we'll give you orientation. They put her with somebody, and the two had the most difficult patients and couldn't talk to each other all night. She discovered that this unit was so hateful and dysfunctional that they would make up lies about each other in order to get ahead. One woman was actually accused of trying to kill her patients because somebody else wanted her job. And of course, it was completely untrue. They would get so hostile with each other that if somebody needed help, no one would come and help them. And so it became a point of pride that no one asked for help. And she said the shoulder and back injuries in that unit were profound because nobody would ask for help. And if somebody coded, and of course being in an ICU, people would code, those who did not have that person as a patient would sit at their desks and not move. Can you imagine? She was in the valley of the shadow, and she would come home night after night talking about this dysfunctional unit and the hatred. Now, when my sister encounters a brick wall, she's very different from me. Because when I encounter a brick wall, I get a battering ram out. And I just batter at it until it falls. But Linda is very different. When she encounters a brick wall, she takes the person by the hand and says, let's remove it together, brick by brick. So she was trying to figure out how to remove this brick wall. And unlike most of us, including myself, she never said, you know, I could have had a nice job 2 minutes away from my house. She figured God had put her there for a reason. So she started to get her work done early, get all her things out of the way, and then go into the next cubicle to help another nurse. And she'd say, I'm here to help. And the nurse would invariably say, I don't need any help. The wall was up. And my sister, rather than going back to her own cubicle, said, I know you don't. You're an excellent nurse. But I'm here anyway. Why don't I help? And so she ingratiated herself, and she would move from bed to bed all night long, helping. She said, now, Dawn, some of this was selfish, because I knew when I didn't want to hurt my back. I wanted help when I needed help. But she was at least willing to ask. She said it took her 6 months before she started to see a softening of that place. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you trust the shepherd even when you're walking through the darkest valley? The upshot was, because of that job, she's where she is today. And because of those experiences, she is in a job where she needs all of her wits about her and all of her brick removing skills in the job she's at. And she has been getting restive late and looking for other work in other areas. And one time she thought she had a job. It was a dream job, and it was closer to me. Instead of 2 days travel, it'd be 1 day travel. And she was so looking forward to this, and they hired somebody else. And she said to me, God has some place for me. I don't know where it is now, but obviously God wants me to stay in this job. and I'll continue to look for others, but I will stay here for as long as the Lord wants me here. Do you trust the shepherd? As Tilly grows, the voice of the shepherd will first be heard with her parents. They will be her shepherd. They will be her guide. They will instill the moral and the ethical values in her life. But there will come a time when she's going to leave home and leave the safety and the comfort of her parents. And she's going to need her shepherd. And I do hope that this church and her parents and all who love her will teach her that there is a shepherd who loves her, who leads her in pleasant pastures, who will guide her in her career, and when she is led through that dark valley, will support her and sustain her and give her all the skills and all the tools that she needs to live. God is our shepherd. And Jesus said, his people hear his voice, even sometimes when it doesn't make any sense. Do you trust the voice of God in your life? Do you trust that the shepherd will lead you? Do you trust that even when you're in a dark place, God's light will lead you on? This is the hope that we have for Tilly and our children. This is the hope that we have when we're in hard places. This is the hope that Psalm 23 has. So the next time you hear the psalm, I hope it's not in the context of a funeral, but the context of life. God is our shepherd, and he leads us in every stage of our life through pleasant pastures, in the dark valley. And our cup runs over with grace and peace and joy each and every day. This is the kind of shepherd we want to teach our children about here and throughout their lives. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the shepherd's leading. I thank you that even in that dark valley, your grace and your peace lead us. And I ask, O Lord, for those who are in dark valleys, who don't understand and cannot fathom where you are taking them, that your peace will lead them on. I ask that you would be with Tilly and her parents as they guide her through life, that you would give them wisdom and have them hear the voice of the shepherd each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.